Welcome back to the Fresh Cup Podcast. We have another special week for our listeners. You're in for a treat today again.
These are so fun. I'm looking forward to it.
These podcasts of having guests on are way better than just me and you. Sorry,
for sure.
David.
Of course. No, I know. It just, you know, it's good. It's good.
Well, today we have the Cabreras on. The good Cabreras morning. Are new lifers. Why don't you introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about you, how long you've been coming to New Life, maybe where you're involved, how you met Jesus, favorite place to eat on the Central Coast.
Ladies
maybe?
First, Diane.
Okay, my name's Diane, and I've been coming to New Life for maybe about 5 years or so.
Okay.
I think right after Pastor David started.
Okay.
My son actually, Elijah, was in some of the Fall Fest activities and mm-hmm. other activities when he was super young. So that was my first interaction with New Life a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a lot of people's first interaction with New Life, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and then we kind of came back around again. So that's cool.
Yep. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Eric Cabrera, Diane's awesome husband, right? Yeah, so I've been coming here for a few years as well, and we both of us volunteer. We do different things here as far as like being at the connection booth sometimes, and once in a while saying good morning at on stage.
You always make people feel welcome at church, for sure.
Yep. And so years ago, it's just been following the Lord for many, many years, but always just one foot in, one foot out till years, you know, maybe about a decade ago, really just started leaning into my relationship with God and giving total surrender to the Lord.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So how long have you guys been married?
We were married in 2004.
So okay.
Let's go.
20 years.
There's some math. There's actually not that math involved.
No, that's simple.
20 years.
So that's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met and married same year.
Okay.
Why waste time?
Yeah, exactly, huh? And we met through one of my friends in college. Okay. So my friend, we were friends in college. We worked together at the college cafeteria, and he was in town. In our kind of hometown area. And he said, come over because my mom's cooking Filipino food. And he had
don't
always
have to say more
about,
than that. Was it some delicious chicken adobo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had always talked about his mom's Filipino food. So I ran over there and that's where I met Eric.
And so his mom, his dad had passed away, his real dad. So his mom married my uncle. And my uncle's like, hey, come over. My stepson, we're throwing him a birthday party. And like, I don't know. He's like, come on, bring your mom. I'm having coconut shrimp. So I'll be right there.
Yeah,
right?
Come on.
Yes. And then so we went to the party. I went there and I saw Diane. I saw her legs, right?
Let's keep it PG here.
I know, yeah. That's so good.
So I had to meet her, and they somehow, my aunt and my uncle had us sit next to each other. We sang karaoke together, and then she's like, yeah. And then we just started talking. And that's how it was. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's so good.
Food, man.
Yeah.
Food brings people together.
It does.
Yes,
it
Lord
does.
Uses food for sure. Speaking of that, you guys actually started a business. How long have you guys had the boba shop now?
Now it's been, in June, it'll be 2 years, which is crazy.
That's been a fast 2 years.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah. So you started a business a couple years ago. That had to be kind of scary because you guys were all, you were doing other things. Like mm-hmm. Diana, I know you were teaching.
Yes.
You know, like you had lives going on. What changed? What shifted? What prompted you to step out in that venture?
Well, yeah. So I have been a high school and junior high teacher for a long time. And the pandemic definitely changed things. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
The pandemic changed my mindset. And it basically told me that I wasn't going to be able to make it to retirement as a teacher. For me, I know a lot of teachers have stayed and that's amazing, but I knew it just wasn't going to work out for me. And I think it was about five, six years ago, we were visiting down in LA, and Elijah and I would go to a shave ice shop all the time, each time we were there. And he loved it and I loved it. It was a fun place to go. And we would go sometimes in the evening. And I just thought it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I liked that. Mm-hmm. I liked that as a treat. And then I don't know how many years ago this was. I think Joanna could help me out with the year. But then I started helping at with the coffee bar here.
Okay.
And I helped, Elijah and I helped with, I believe, Fall Fest.
Yeah.
And we were helping do the hot chocolate and the coffee. And Joanna and I laugh about it because at one point we ran out of hot chocolate and we
it's always an adventure.
We spilled the hot chocolate and we were just all over the place. But I was having a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, maybe this is how a, you know, coffee shop owner their life is, or maybe this is how a business owner has to deal with things. So I thought, well, I enjoyed it. It was, I think I worked, I volunteered for the Fall Fest for maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it went by quickly and I had fun and I might have been tired at the end, but I really enjoyed it.
Good. So yeah, that's awesome.
Maybe I'm supposed to do some kind of business. Yeah. So that was kind of the spark.
And just realizing you had a heart to serve people. Right.
Yeah. So, and I did enjoy it. And after that, I started researching a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started opening my eyes up to, you know, how does this actually work? And what is in an actual shop? And instead of going into a shop and just ordering and kind of being, you know, dazing out, right, which I can do, you know, I started like looking behind the counters and seeing what they have and just opening my eyes up to what they're doing.
Yeah, once you start, I mean, last week we talked, the Camerons were on and they talked about being curious. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, that kind of almost like a spiritual practice of curiosity. And we were talking about it in the context of nature. But I think that is so true when you go into other places and you have this sense of curiosity to be like, what makes this business, like what's the difference between going to a coffee shop where you know, the culture of the coffee shop or the boba shop or whatever is like, okay, here's my money, here's my food transaction. And like, what's the difference between a place where you're like, oh, I want to go in there. Like people know my name. Like I'm treated like I'm a family member. I'm going to stay and hang out because I definitely know that's the vibe at your guys' place. You know, it's definitely like it's a place to be, you know?
Yeah, we want it to be a cool hangout vibe and, you know.
Yeah, and we wanted people to feel, because there's some people that we've noticed, I don't know if you guys ever felt this way sometimes, like they feel invisible, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, walk into a place and everyone else is saying hi to everyone else, but then they're still waiting to even be just greeted. So we like came up with a rule for all of us, like, man, we greet every single person and not just welcome in as soon as they walk in the door. We'll start off with that. But actually ask them how they're doing and then like get into the art of really small conversation and really listening to them. And so we've been able to pray for people. We let it be known in the shop. We put everything around letting people know that we are believers, you know. And so, yeah, we just want people to not feel invisible, to feel welcome. Mm-hmm. We try to do our best to make people feel like we've known them forever.
Yeah.
You know, and because, you know, some people just want to be recognized and just – sometimes I don't think they may be having a bad day and it just takes that one person. Hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. Like just doing all right. Like, yeah. And then like, well, what's going on? And we will literally ask every single person. We don't just wait for them to tell us, you know, like, so we'll like really kind of get a little bit more personal with them and without making them feel uncomfortable and hopefully give them a word of encouragement.
And we've had times where, usually it happens kind of in the morning, where it's not very busy. And sometimes, yes, I can worry and freak out. So I might be worried a little bit. But then God has helped me calm down that, which is good. I'm very thankful for that. But again, it's been slow and maybe one person will come in and this has happened a lot. One person will come in and we will just, you know, ask them how they're doing, maybe take their order, obviously, and they just start talking to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes at the end, after they're gone, I'm thinking, they literally just told us a lot, and I didn't ask for a lot, but I'm just kind of shocked that they feel comfortable. I think I still get, I get in the shocked, like, wow, this, did this really happen?
Yeah.
I think Eric is more like, of course it's happening. We, you know, you're a welcoming person and whatnot, but I'm still kind of thinking, this is kind of wild. I enjoy it though. I'm very, I'm happy.
Well, it's kind of like that. Those defined appointments, you know, like, you know, especially when it's like, you know, it's a slow time and somebody just needs to, needs to
boba,
be seen.
It happens a lot.
Boba, shave ice, and therapy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. So if you want any of those,
right.
Come see it's been Eric fun. And Diane.
And we always hear people come in a lot as well. They're like, man, I'm just having a bad day. I deserve this.
Yeah.
Like they come to make themselves happy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's generally like when me and my son go in, it's generally we're celebrating because he did well on a test or he did something, you know, we went there a couple weeks ago because he reached his 1 million words score of reading for the year. He read 1 million words. So usually we're celebrating or it's like, ooh, today was rough. We need a little pick me up
for sure.
That's good.
So like why boba and shaved ice? Like what was, I mean, some people might not even know what boba is. I mean, personally, I am so glad that you opened your shop because I come from Orange County where we had really good boba places down there, but there is not really a place that was near me that I was up here that I was like, oh, this is good boba until PCH came along.
So boba is basically just ground up cassava root. It's a street food that was invented in Taiwan and then came to America like in the early 90s. It started off in Azusa, they could trace its roots.
Oh, really?
No way.
Azusa. Okay, didn't know that.
So it gets ground up. We cook it. Some people call it bubble tea or tapioca pearl, but it's really just ground up cassava root.
And then tapioca.
Tapioca.
So cassava and tapioca are the same thing?
Apparently in this world it is, right?
Yeah, I think that's the common name for it from what we understand.
This is like the same thing that I found out last week. I felt very ignorant and very dumb because I went to the grocery store and I was looking for chickpeas.
Okay.
And so I was like, where are the chickpeas? And so I finally had to ask somebody and they're like, they're garbanzo beans. Right. And I was like, that's the same thing. I had no idea.
I saw those.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of people, some people who don't like boba, they say the same thing. It's the texture. Mm-hmm. So that.
Which I actually like. Actually, I know.
And my
like
son
it.
Is a big texture. Like he's picky about eating things and it's usually a texture thing, but he loves, especially the popping boba, which is even more, you know,
and now
surprising.
We have sour popping.
Oh.
Sour popping cherry, sour blue raspberry popping. So tell him to come and try it.
There we
he
go.
Does love some Sour Patch Kids, so he probably loves that.
But yeah, so it was invented in Taiwan, something that goes up the straw, you put it in your drink and something fun to chew on, you know, and some people like it. And you don't have to put boba in anything if you don't want to. You can still have the drink without the boba. We've had people put boba on top of their shaved ice.
Yeah.
Oh,
on
really?
On top of desserts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all totally good with it. Yeah.
So we had the shaved ice idea, and then Elijah started getting into boba. And so we would, you know, drive around the county trying to find boba for Elijah. And
Elijah's your son. I don't know
Elijah's
if you mentioned that.
Elijah's my son. Yep. Elijah's our son. He's almost 17.
Yeah.
17? Where is the time gone?
Crazy. I can't believe it.
We have the same birthday, actually.
They have the same birthday.
Oh, no way.
So you're also 17?
Yes. May 3rd?
I'm May 5th.
And a half.
Yeah. Happy almost birthday.
Yeah, almost birthday. Almost birthday.
And so we decided to combine them. We thought, let's do both.
They
Why
do
not?
Go together very well.
So,
and I'm glad because Kingston likes the shaved ice more and I like the boba more. So,
Well, we found out like most boba shops, they look for something else to help support it. Mm-hmm. And then some, you know, like sometimes they do like fried something with it, right? Popcorn chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
And then some other shaved ice, they also need something else to support it. We found out that they're a perfect marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And they support each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And shaved ice, like when you go to get shaved ice at your guys' place, like, it's not like this, like, little tiny, like, mound. I'm impressed at how much shave ice you can put in that little cup.
Yeah. We do like to stack it up high.
Yes. Well, we want people to feel like they get, especially in our economy right now, but we want people to feel like they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. You know? Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys have talked about this a little bit. about how when you stepped out in faith. But how do you guys see, you know, a lot of times I think we can get in our head that like business is business and faith is faith, but and kind of have them separated. But I don't sense that's the case with you guys, that you guys see them as kind of like a partnership. So how do you, how does your faith, your calling even as believers, like how does that intersect with your lives as business owners?
I think for me, because I left teaching, and there were parts that I enjoyed.
Well, and that's definitely a ministry too, you know.
Yeah,
there teaching were parts, is definitely it, like you have an influence on people.
Oh yeah,
there were parts that I enjoyed, and so over time, I realized, well, being a business owner, especially this small business, I still get to talk to people. We decided that early on that we would hire teenagers. And I thought, well, now I'm still kind of teaching.
Yeah.
I'm teaching. In the very beginning, we were teaching, you know, customer service. And basically, we were teaching a couple of kids that had never had any job. And so
how to look people in the eye, how to talk to them.
They didn't know how to say hello and to say thank you after they get their order and all that. So
and
I
smile,
thought, yeah, I'm still teaching a little bit. We're still talking to people. So I like that. And then it's also just, for me again, learning how to rely on God in a totally different way.
Yeah.
I realize even right now in the midst of some of the changes that we're having right now, I have realized now it's a whole other learning situation for me. And now it's a different type of trust in God for me.
Yeah.
Right now I'm entering that phase.
That's really good. Have you noticed that like as you go through this new stage, that you're relying on what God has done already to kind of help you think about like how he might move right now or in the future? Like, you know, it's one of those things where when you first step out in faith for the very first time, it is so overwhelming, but it's almost like a muscle.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you see him move, all of a sudden, you know, it becomes not easy. I'm gonna stop short of saying easy, but it does become something where you have evidence, I guess is what I'm saying. Evidence that he's moved before. So what would it look like for him to move now?
Yeah, I know for me, I have to look at the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, okay, that was a pretty impossible situation, but we got through it. God, I can see that he, you know, pulled me through. I was on his back, you know, he was carrying me through. So I have
piggyback
to believe.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I just got that.
Exactly.
That mental picture.
Yeah.
We saw God in this entire thing. Like he was literally with, because we don't come from money. You know, we didn't have a lot of money to start. We had a super tiny budget. But God just started opening doors. He gave us his vision. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like all these things started happening, just falling into place all at the same time. And it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And then I remember just praying. We've had this idea had it for a couple of years, and Diane was having some anxiety issues from her then job, right? And then God literally helped us transition from that, and I was a supervisor at Home Depot, and then we were able to open this business. You know, God gave us this business, and he was just there with us the whole time. And because it happened so quickly, we knew it was a God thing. We knew that it was bigger than just the business itself. Mm-hmm. So from that time, man, God has opened so many doors. Even we host a men's Bible study every Monday night there.
That's
and
so cool.
Men from different churches, not just, you know, New Life, but a couple of guys from Grace and other churches, they attend as well. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we really see God in all of this. And so we know it's bigger than us. It's more than just money. And that is just,
yeah, because the money is not flowing in. We've also had to learn how to deal with, oh wow, okay, I didn't expect that or whatever. So it's
surprises,
that's another trust
right?
thing, you know. Yeah. It's like, okay, God, you know, I'm gonna take from here and move it over there and hope it all works out.
You know, one of the things I've noticed as you know, as you kind of think about your faith and even how God has created you. You know, the psalmist reminds us that God knit us together, is that you guys, it's kind of like Boba and Shave Ice, you guys are a kind of perfect pair. And you even talked about how you do the research, and that's kind of your, you know, mm-hmm. where you were, and being able to observe Eric. He's the entrepreneurial mind and mm-hmm. the communications and social media, which you do a great job at. And I just love seeing kind of that marriage and that pair of your guys' giftedness and talents that God has given you. And then taking that and going and stepping out in faith together and saying, hey, maybe apart, we wouldn't be able to do this, but together, and with God at the center of it,
yes,
then we can do this because he's gifted both of us in unique ways, mm-hmm. and now yeah. we can move forward with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, no, that's really good.
Total sense. And mm-hmm. we've had to adjust being around each other so much as well.
I love that.
Yeah, like
the honesty. Hey, let's get real, right? It's hard.
And so she got an extra job somewhere, just yeah. right? And but just so we get time to miss each other. And then yeah. we finally, it took a minute to adjust to how we worked because we never worked together before.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. As a married couple, man, we have to have, you know, and we had our share of arguments here and there and trying to figure out how we're both wired when it comes to working together, and mm-hmm. we never owned a business together.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so
there's a lot of added pressure.
Yes.
And put on your marriage for that, for sure.
A lot.
Yeah. And I know that as a teacher, I had, you know, a good hour and a half of quiet time.
Yeah.
I could close my door. No one's coming in. I could do whatever I wanted. And it was very different having a shop and people want the music on before we're open. And it's just very different for me. So I had to realize what I need. I've had to step up and say, I need quiet time. I'm going to go outside or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's forced, I think, both of us to kind of be put our you know, desires out there on the table, like
yeah,
I need communication. This, I'm gonna go outside, or I really need the music on, or whatever. So
yeah, so well, as Jared and I, we're both pastors here at New Life, and we share an office, so we are the yes. same way. You know, we have to be like, okay, I'm gonna go for a walk,
right?
You
know,
I'm gonna spend yeah. some time. I mean, it doesn't. Most people are like, how could you do that? I right. could never.
Elena know? Has headphones, actually.
I do.
She
do
and that's headphones. Not just for Jared. That's for no. everybody that walks yeah. by. She's so like, all right, I gotta be focused.
So much of the things that I have to get done in a day are very yeah. like, you know, focus driven. Mm-hmm. So I have yeah. to. Mm-hmm. I need to have that.
So I think something that's sometimes people don't think about. You know, the vision, the boba, the shave ice, all that kind of stuff sounds so awesome. And you think about a lot of the good things, but with every good thing, there also are the challenges, right?
Yes.
And so what are some of the things that, maybe twofold question, what are some of the things that are challenging about owning your own business? And then what are some of the things that when you, that are like the fruit, right? Like, cause you're going on those days where you're doing the challenging stuff, you go, oh, but I had this great conversation, but you yeah. know, I had this Bible study, mm-hmm. but you know, we're making an impact, you know? So you have the fruit, but what are some of the challenging things?
I know for some of the challenging things have been learning how to, organize our inventory. We discovered yeah. we're really bad at inventory, so we've had to do different things to make sure we have enough of everything. Another challenge, learning, you know, taxes, and then I think just being transparent.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't know how to do this, and I actually need help.
Oh, that's good.
Actually need help. So yeah. I've had to talk to Eric about, you know, we need to ask for help. And yeah. and something that goes on in my head is I have to tell myself, I'm not the first person who needs this help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be the last person. And it's okay that I ask for help.
That's
I
awesome.
Have to do and that. I think sometimes you can like, and especially like, you know, I have a creative brain and I have, you know, weird ideas that pop into my head. I'm like, oh, that could be a cool business, you know? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, but having an idea of something cool is way different than actually making it happen, because yeah. it is, you could have the best idea in the world.
Yeah.
And, but if you don't know how to have inventory or know right. how to do, you know, any of budget, which is definitely not my strong suit. So it's like, it's definitely a lot more than just like a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why mentors are important for in any area of your life. So
yeah.
we had to have a business coach and a business mentor, and she was amazing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that really, you just have to be able to admit how you're wired and where your weak points are, and you can make them strong just by getting some good advice and stuff.
And it wasn't easy to get to that point of being transparent and putting it out on the table.
But I wonder how many dreams fall short because people aren't willing to get help.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God's given them an idea, he's given them a vision, and because they're not willing to surround themselves with the right people, it just stays in the mind or in the heart, and it never actually comes to fruition.
Yeah.
And so that transparency and that vulnerability is, I think, important to actually eventually flourishing in what God's called you to do.
Yeah, that's where God really showed up in our lives, because we're both wired so different to where, because I've owned businesses before. I've owned a couple of tattoo shops and had a trunk company years ago. So I've always, I don't even like to say take a risk. I like to now use the word take a leap of faith, right? Or step out in faith. I don't even say take a risk. That sounds so dangerous to me. And Diane, she's always been the type, like, she needs to see a paycheck come in.
Yeah.
So to have her like, okay, we're going to do this. We're just going to rely on people walking in and customers, and we don't know what's going to happen, but we trusted God, and now she's over it. Before, she's like, I don't know, is this going to really happen for us, and this and that? Are we going to be successful? Are we going to fail? Like, man, we got to take a leap of faith. We got to step out in faith. And she asked God for the courage to do it, and we were able to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I know that you probably have days that are slow and times that are slow, but I saw that you were adding some hours, and the last couple times that I've been in the shop, I'm amazed at how many people are in there. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's like a tipping point, like in the last, 3 months or 6 months, where you've seen, kind of almost gained some more traction? Like, I remember in those early days, I'd walk in and maybe there'd be one or two other people. Now, especially if I go around that 3 o'clock time, it is jammed.
Yeah. Like, lots of kids got good grades on their math test.
Exactly.
Celebrating.
I think we have become more known, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting ourselves out there. I do a lot of the, marketing and throwing our, ads out places. So we have become, more like in people's minds to come after school or whatever to get a treat. What else, Eric?
Oh, well, just come to think of it, there was these three families one day. It might have been, a couple of weeks ago. And they're like, man, we love you guys. We love coming here, this and that. And then one of the dads, and it really hit me in the heart and just really made me feel so good, because we had a hard day the day before. It was slow. But he said, you guys are in the community's conversation now. Since Doc Bernstein closed, now I know multiple people that say, okay, we're going to, we do it too. We're going to eat out tonight. We're going to go here or there. What about dessert? Oh, how about PCH? Yes, let's go there.
That's good.
How about whatever? But we're now in the community's conversation as your local place to go to. And so that really touched my heart to hear that father say that.
But it's taken 2 years.
It's taken a while.
And
it's not, I would imagine that in the summertime, things get.
Oh, yeah. Now that we've had a good year and a half of, sales, and I can see what happened, I can see when our busy time
some ebb and flow.
So that's a good thing.
And I guess what I want our listeners to know is that sometimes when you are looking to flourish in things like this, there's a stick-to-itness that's necessary, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not all going to happen in the first 6 weeks or, the stories about overnight success is actually, they're few and far between.
Well, they are.
And a lot of times what it means to flourish is to stay with it.
Yep.
And to get up every day and to go. And on those days where maybe it's slow, you get up the next day and just go, all right, God, it was slow yesterday. Let's see what you're going to do today, And it requires that.
Yeah, we have definitely had to, for me, I've had to do different things than Eric has to do. I, again, can worry a little bit, so I've had to deal with that differently. Definitely prayer, definitely just writing. I enjoy writing. Also, I have reached out to a lot of small business owners. So again, being transparent with them. Luckily, there's so many great small businesses in this area, and they're literally amazing owners.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful to hear them say talk about their struggles and talk about how they deal with certain things. And love that. I love that they're transparent. We can both just say it out loud, and it's just amazing. I'm amazed at the small businesses in this area.
Yeah. I think that's great, just as a principle to keep in mind for anybody listening. Like, not everybody listening is going to own a business, but everybody listening needs people, you know, right. that yeah. I think that that's just super important to keep in mind. That's like, you know, as somebody who also struggles with worry and anxiety sometimes, that's like, okay, like inviting people into that and asking questions and asking for help and like mm-hmm. saying like, how have you, because especially when you're worrying is like, so like in your head and it's like a cycle, you know, that I think that like actually verbalizing it with another human being right, yeah. like stops that cycle. Mm-hmm. And so it seems counterintuitive because it seems so scary to like ask for help or ask mm-hmm. for prayer or anything like that. But how much like, you know, we are healed in community and yes, how, right. you know, we are, we find that hope in community. That's how we were designed to be, like mm-hmm. how God created us.
Yeah, James reminds us, I mean, I know this is a little bit broader of a context, but he reminds us that confession to one another is where we experience healing. And there's something about how the enemy works in our mind when we feel like we're the only one.
Mm. Yeah.
And how he builds a narrative. And the moment that you confess that to somebody and they say, me too.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's something healing about that. Like, oh, you mean I'm not the only one? That's you mean right. the enemy's a liar? Like, yeah. that's. I mean, essentially, that's what you're saying. It's like the right. enemy's a liar.
She is.
He's yep. he's trying to wreak havoc on my mind. I just confessed this to somebody. They said that they struggle with the same type of stuff, and now we have community. We can spur each other on in faith and encourage one mm-hmm. another with what we've experienced and what we've seen God do.
Yeah. Wow. The other thing I want to say is the community is amazing. We've had, this has happened so many times too. Customers have come in and maybe it's packed and they will come up to me. It just happened the other day. And this lady said, I'm so happy to see so many people in here. It's yes. so great. And she's kind of, not preaching, but she's encouraging me.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says,
yeah.
rooting us on.
You know, she's yeah. like, I'm yeah. so happy for you guys.
People in
so
your corner.
Busy. Yeah.
yeah.
And I don't even know her. And mm-hmm. she is just thankful that we're busy. And I'm thankful that she's thankful that we're busy, you know? Yeah. And it's really nice to see that.
And then the
that.
Gifts that people bring us sometimes and the kids who yeah, draw us pictures yeah, and stuff really like that. Nice. Like that really, really, you know, it feels good.
Yeah. In just good. 2 short years, you guys have put a stamp on our community. And I know that you've, like you said, been involved with so many other business owners in our, mm-hmm. in our small town. Yeah. And, seeing that, how have you seen, your business and even like other local businesses, no, not just yours, like how have you seen that be a part of a flourishing community?
Well, I mean, just everybody encouraging each other and kind of like bouncing ideas off of each other as well. Sometimes other business owners will come in who we've made friends with, and they're business owner couples as well. And they'll tell us their experience of what they're going through. So we'll give them our advice and they'll give us their advice. So it's just really encouraging for each other, you know? And I think and sometimes we'll even send people in their direction. We mm-hmm. constantly like support each other. Like, hey, and people out of towners will come in. And they will literally ask us, hey, where do you recommend any places to eat? Like, we sure do. We got a bunch of places.
And yeah.
We'll mm-hmm. recommend them where we like to eat. You know, mm-hmm. we pretty much like to eat everywhere. And, you know, I just love to eat.
We have a lot of great,
we do.
Great
yeah, we do.
Mom because and pop type places here on the Central Coast for we sure. Do.
And we get a lot of the, of course, we started off wanting to open for locals, you know, because mm-hmm. it's sometimes us locals don't like to go downtown Pismo, especially like during holidays, because
right.
everybody yes, is there
from out of town. For sure.
Parking.
We're Central Coast soft.
Yeah, we are. But then so we're always like one of our models, like, hey, you know, free and eat free and easy parking here. But, mm-hmm. but a lot of tourists have found out about us as well. And so they would come here. And of course, that's when they ask us for recommendations. We tell them where to go.
You yeah. know?
And so that's how we try to help each other community-wise, with, you know.
So here you guys are 2 years later, and you see evidence of what God is doing, and you've gotten through some hard things and had some success and all, like, everything that's happened, right? But when you're starting out and you just have, you know, you two and a vision from God and nothing before you, right? Like there's not even a shop yet. You haven't even rented the shop. You haven't, and you start to speak that dream. What are some of the feelings that you have the moment you start to like take that vision and dream beyond just a conversation with you guys? Like, what were some of the things that you did or felt? And then I remember being there when you guys prayed over it. Like, that's a that's another step. Give us a little bit of a picture of just like maybe some steps of faith that you had along the way, because it feels like there's not just one.
No,
there's about 10 steps of faith that have led you over these 2 years. So, like, what are some of those steps? And if someone's listening, going, "Hey, I have this vision that God's given me," maybe it's a Me Too moment that they would go, "Hey, when they stepped out in faith, they felt some of these things as well." Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think for me, it was in the very beginning. I reached out to some people online. A couple of these people I still haven't met in person on Instagram. And one lady gave me the idea of putting a date on paper.
Okay.
And I didn't, she said, you don't even have to tell anyone or show anyone. I told her. It coincided with the end of the school year. And it started getting closer, and I thought, oh my gosh, is this really going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then I started reaching out to a couple other business owners. I found these two ladies, their sisters in San Jose. They opened a coffee shop in San Jose.
Now in the heart of COVID.
Yeah. Now they have three.
That's awesome.
I just reached out to them and I just basically laid it out all on the table, like, you know, and they were so encouraging, and they gave me the phrase that kept me going in my head was, if they can do it, I can do it. And they did not come from money either. And they're not, you know, 18, they're not super young. And I thought, okay, if they can do it, I can do it. This is crazy.
That's awesome.
So those were the first couple of things that I thought, okay. And then I also, like, going to different shops and things, I would look at the people and I'd be like, okay, I can see that they're doing that. I know how to do that. And then I had to talk to myself, like, okay, Diane, you've gone to college. You've done this. You know how to learn something new. Learn this also. So I tried to tell myself, okay, you're going to have to learn it and you can do it. So those were the things that I had to put in my own head.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Well, I think that what you're speaking to is why it's so important for us to share our own testimonies. Because what you're saying is those sisters, you know, shared the testimony that they had of, you know, and I don't know if they're believers or not, but like of seeing success in something that was scary for them. And I think the more that you get to see and witness God moving in other people, it is like a bolster of faith for other people who are struggling. 100%. And it's like, oh, I can see how God has moved in their life. Maybe it has nothing to do with the business, but I could see how God has moved in these people's marriage. So, you know, maybe he could do something in mine too. Yeah, or I've seen God move in this person's life in how they've overcome this addiction. Maybe God could do that for me too. So I think that's why it's so important for us to continue to share our stories and both struggles and the triumphs, because it does help other people.
Yeah, I think that's why we go through things. Just so God will use us later to help encourage other people who are going through similar circumstances.
Yeah, he doesn't waste anything.
No, he doesn't waste anything. And we one day just sat down at a coffee shop and we said, okay, let's get this. Lord, help us get kicked into high gear. So we just established our LLC. After that, there was no going back. Right? Okay, this is it. Mm-hmm. And there's so many challenges from then until we finally found the spot where we rent now. That even our own family members, we had some family members and friends just told us we're crazy. Mm-hmm. They didn't support us. They thought we were insane. And they're like, who's going to buy some ice? They don't even like, we're just going to
not can make it at home,
isn't
right?
There, isn't it's there not like the a, same. Isn't that it's like a saying, like you could sell
ice to an Eskimo?
Yes,
what it is. that's when I know you alluded to something about telling people and not telling people. I am kind of the more, introvert. I don't want to tell everyone everything. Eric will tell everybody everything.
I got excited.
And so there was a time where I'm like, I can't handle telling certain people certain things. I need the encouragement, and especially I needed the encouragement from people who literally have come from nothing also, have overcome a lot of obstacles. That's, for me, those people gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah, you know? That's what I realized too. You shouldn't tell everybody your good news, because not everybody's going to be happy for you.
Ooh, that's good. That'll preach.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like you're always looking for people to just tell you what you want to hear, but it's like not everybody is going to be happy for you. And sometimes, and I've had friends that I literally had a friend that came up to me and said, Eric, you know, I was kind of envious of you when you opened because it exposed myself as, and like, I feel like I'd never did anything with my life. So I wasn't like envious of you per se, but just you being open and I never got to do any, I haven't done anything yet, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just praying for him. And I didn't even know he felt like that, but for him to have the courage to come out and tell this to me, I really just give him, you know, I love the brother, you know?
Yeah. No, that's good. No. That's good.
So how, moving forward, I know like you've come so far in 2 years, like what are your hopes and your dreams and like what ways would you love to just see God use your business to help yourselves, your family flourish, our community flourish, individuals?
That's a really good question.
I know that's kind of a big one.
That's a really big question. Well, I mean, yeah, as I'll be honest, as business owners, you know, we would love, it is our prayer and hope that the business can sustain our family and the business. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we want that to happen. I also see it, I see our business as a place where young people can have their first job, you know, so that they can go on to another job later. You know, they can work wherever afterwards, and they have that good experience of you know, working hard and learning a lot. I also see our business as a place where, you know, the community has a fun place to come and hang out with their family and friends. We see that all the time. Yeah, we see that all the time, and I love seeing that. We, you know, have hopes and dreams of maybe doing some other type of business and opening another something. I don't know. We have lots of ideas, but, you know, we have to, you know, be smart.
Yeah.
And it's not like we can just do that right now, which is fine, but we want to be open to what God has for us. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. We're just trusting God. He gave us this vision, so he'll continue to give us more visions if that's his will for our life, you know. But yeah, so we're just always asking that people to continue to pray for us, that we're mentally there, don't get exhausted from this, and physically as well. But we've been able to provide boba classes for kids during spring breaks and stuff like that.
Fun.
So, yeah, something kids can do during school break. They might not have anything else to do. You know, we love seeing kids walk there after school and wait for their parents to pick them up. You know, that's an amazing thing for them to feel safe there, and do their homework there. And
the other thing that I've seen is, yes, we are a Christian-owned business, and we've seen people of all different everything, you know, different types of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that we show love to everyone.
Yeah.
It's not a judgmental place.
Yes.
Well, I think what's really cool is, you know, we talk about this a lot at New Life, you know, as far as we talk about it as the church being kind of this like signpost of the kingdom, you know, like this kind of like place that's, you know, you're kind of in the wilderness and all of a sudden you come to this place that's like an oasis, not like a full on, this is a protective everybody else out type of way, but like it's a signpost that like God is doing things on earth as it is in heaven. But it is even so cool to see that happen, not at a church, I'm using air quotes, not at a church that is, you know, like your shop. What I'm hearing you guys say, your prayer for your shop is that it would also be a kingdom outpost, like a place where people would walk in and be like, there's something different about this place. Like, I feel welcomed. I feel seen. I don't feel invisible. Like, also, boba makes me happy. You know, that it is like such a beautiful thing. We talk about it at New Life, but like, you know, the vision of God is like this city on a hill, and seeing like even just like something is, it's not small because it's a big thing, but like a small business having an impact in kingdom ways, you know, making a kingdom impact through.
And I think if you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening and you go back to the book of Acts and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that is God's design.
Yeah.
That as we find ourselves in a community, if you're in that classroom, if you are in your home, if you are in your place of business, if you're working, wherever that may be, wherever you are a kingdom outpost. You have the ability to, in that space, for whatever time that you are there, you have the ability to literally allow God's kingdom to come to earth as it is in heaven through the way that you talk, the way that you see people, the way that you, your work ethic, your creativity, all of those things are happening as you're doing that. And so it's not just on a Sunday morning where somebody might catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God. It's every time they walk into or are a part of spaces where God's people are gathered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an awesome, you know, it's an awesome thing to be part of. So just so that, you know, if we have, most of our people are probably local that are listening right now. And if they wanted to come get some PCH, where would they go, like, specifically? I know not everybody who doesn't live here will know where this is, but where are you guys located?
Yeah, I mean, we still actually, that's funny, we still have locals that say, well, how long have you been here? I live right around the corner.
Yeah, right.
I just go on to Ross and Goodwill and drop something off, and then I just saw you guys.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of those two places. We're in the Ross Shopping Center, 893 North Oak Park Boulevard.
Right down the street from,
yeah,
from
just
a 5-minute walk
from
here, from the New Life.
Yeah. We've walked there before.
Yeah, right across the street. And we're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 5:30, 5:45, 6.
And
check our Instagram.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, varies a little bit. Friday and Saturday, we're open till 6. And
awesome.
Then Sunday, some, like, we're planning to open on Sunday afternoons, about maybe 2 Sundays a month, from about 12 to 4.
Yeah, church first, and then. Yeah. Then come on in, guys.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a great after church treat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep.
So that's the plan for right now.
Well, I know this is kind of unconventional, but I was thinking maybe we could end by just praying for you guys.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
You need
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And maybe praying for, you know, anybody out there that's has a dream or a vision and is scared.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Father, we just thank you so much for this beautiful couple. We thank you for their faith that has just been a testimony to me, has been a testimony of so many to so many people, of just stepping out in faith, of using things that could be labeled as secular, but that they are holy. And so we just pray your blessing over this kingdom outpost in our community. God, would you continue to just bring people who want to be seen, who need to be seen, who need to be seen by you. And maybe they're afraid they never would set foot in a church, God, but they would go get some shaved ice or some boba. So we just pray, for this couple, that you would just continue to bind them together, that you would continue to just speak your truth in their life, and that you would just continue to encourage them. And for anybody listening who has a dream, who has a vision, who feels like they have a calling from God but are just too afraid, God, would you just allow this to be a testimony that fear doesn't have the last word, but fear is a normal thing, and worry happens, and we all struggle with worry and anxiety at some points, God, but don't allow that to be a stopping point for people to step out and to do the things that you've called them to do. And so we just, we thank you for your vision. We thank you for your hopes and your dreams, and that you have just infused them into us. And so we ask that you would just continue to bless this couple, that you would continue to bless our community, and that you would be alive and active in our businesses, in our church, and in our individuals as they go about their lives teaching or owning a business or being a doctor, any of those things that we do, God, would they just be done for your glory? Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I just want to say, you know, if anybody out there is listening, whoever's listening, if you ever need prayer or anything, and you feel you just are led by the Lord, you need prayer, come on through. We love to pray for people at the shop.
That's awesome.
At the other, on the opposite side of fear is the flourishing life with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good way to end right there.
Yeah, thank you guys so much
for
coming on. What a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.